מה שעמדו שיהיה תועלת, והיה באופן שקשה לפניהם ללמד, ודאי צריך לתת להם השכר. If the strike was justified, then certainly they should be paid during the period they went out on strike, because going out on strike was for the benefit of the children in the long run. Okay, and what about if the strike is not justified? Ve'im haya ba'ofen shehaya asur lahem shelo lelamed, if the strike was not justified, mistaber midina she'ein chayavim latet lehem, then presumably they should not be entitled to their pay when they went out on strike. Aval mitzad v'ochot tzadikim shebetzol perka umanim, from the problem of social justice and considerations, tzarek litet lehem, they should be paid nevertheless, even though they're not entitled to their strike day's wages. Ki lo mitolba bitlu me'avodotam lelamed, they didn't go out on strike on a caprice. Ela mirov tsar va'oni, but out of a sense of frustration and poverty, v'chashvu sheyeh toleret mezeh. So even if the strike is illegal, he says, it may be that legally you can't force the school to pay their wages, but common sense says that you should take some pity and mercy on these poor teachers and pay them their strike wages nevertheless. Okay, I don't think you can find a more pro-labor. So if your view of what Moshe was as a conservative or a reactionary, here is a marvelous tshuva that shows that he came out strongly in favor of labor rights, teachers' rights. All the way from.
How about the Shachtum
building? Oh, there's a beautiful tshuva on the Shachtum building.
Did he favor that?
Yes. Oh yes, I have a tshuva who's here on the shop.
Before my father wanted to have plenty of trouble with the shop.
Yeah.
Now he had his experiences with underpaid teachers.
Uh-huh. They go on strike just before Yantar.
Yeah, let me see if I have the tshuva here. I didn't Xerox many copies of it. Let me see if I can.
Yeah. We saw that a few years ago. We were studying the emergence of the Shachtim Union in New York under the. We went back to the Civil War period.
Right.
And,
okay. I won't read the whole shiur because it's rather lengthy. But here's. He enabled dvar etzem agudat hapoalim shekorim unions. שעושים ביניהם תקנות לקביעות השכר ושלא יוכלו הבעלים לסלקם ושצריכים לעזור זה את זה בשביתות וכדומה מדברים שהוא לטובתם. איני רואה בזה שום חשש עיסוק. This is still with Moshe Feinstein, but he's talking about, you asked about the Shochet.
Yeah.
So, look, it's a long tshuva, but what he says basically is that even if the Shochetim agreed not to unionize or not to organize as part of their contract, they nevertheless have the right to organize into a union, and that the Rabbanim have absolutely no right to asur a shochet or the shechita of a shochet because he happens to have joined a union, even if it was contrary to a prior undertaking. So he's in favor of the Shochetim union as well as the teachers union.
I wonder if these kashrut organizations are the equivalent of guilds or if they're viewed as private enterprise. You know, the OK and the OU and that whole issue.
Well,
similar, isn't it?
Yeah, it's somewhat similar. And Moshe tries to give additional support to the Shochetim not being able to be fired because, in fact, they have a community position and therefore they get a chazakah on it as being part of the religious establishment. But in any event, That's the side argument that he uses in this Shuvah in support of the Shochetim Union. So he was marvelously and very ardently pro-labor. There are several other interesting examples. There's a, let me see if I can find it here.
Incapable Shochet, he didn't want to show his column to the Rav.
Yeah,
how could the Union protect him? I mean, that's...
In cases like that, probably Ramesh will not come out in support. But in general, he is...
one of the biggest problems they had was they had like incapable fellow with a lot of trades and so forth.
To try to
throw him out of the union or
fire him. Here's a case where they tried to fire a teacher Here's a case where they tried to fire a teacher in Elizabeth, New Jersey. And I won't read the whole tshuva to you, but here is Mahalak Kvod Yedidi Harav Hagon Al Mefosam or Rabbeinu Mordechai Pinchas Teitz Hagon Al Beis Din Elizabeth. So this is Rabbi Teitz, a letter to Rabbi Teitz. Apparently the school tried to fire a Malamed, the yeshiva in Elizabeth, under Rabbi Teitz's direction, tried to fire
it. Had it for many years.
Right. And the teacher demanded a din Torah, and they came before with Moshe, and they eventually reached a settlement, you know, sucked in. And now Rabbi Teitz's school board is trying to renege. So here's some
on the agreement.
On the settlement.
That's like the real world, huh?
But here's Rav Moshe. He loses his temper a little bit with Rabbi Teitz. Bidvar hadin Torah, hine achar psak din shel ha-beis din, after the decision of the court, shahaita yeshivat ha-beis din beheskem shnei ha-tzadim. After all, we convened the court and agreed with them. There was a prior contract to abide by whatever the Beis Din decided, bein ledin, bein lepesher, whether the Beis Din was going to decide on the basis of a judgment or on the basis of arbitration. If there was such an agreement in advance, we don't have to write any reasons for our decision. Furthermore, there's no higher court than our court here to which you can appeal, so why should I feel obligated even to go into take the trouble of writing the details of our decision when you had agreed in advance to abide by whatever we decided? This, our decision is binding. V'lo anachnu, v'lo shum beis din achei yecholim levatlo. Neither we nor any other court have the authority to cancel an agreement which you made in advance when you agreed to abide by our decision. U'memele, v'choyavim l'shalem lo kefi sheyatsa mehapsakdin. Therefore, you're obligated to pay according to what our decision was, and especially since after all of the prior agreements there was also a contract at the end by both parties to abide by the arbitration after the arbitration had been decided. Aval mimechtav kvar atarato nikar shehu rak bishvil habal abatim shelo yirtzu lekayem apsakti, and you want me to write this opinion in order to placate your balabatim who don't want to abide by it. Kishelo echtov ataamim, if I don't write the reasons, lachein af sheyodea ani shegam kvota atobi atzmo itchela biyadol avarer halacha, that I know full well that you, Rabbi Teitz, have the full ability to explain the details. Shebeshvila asinu hapesha hazeh acharei shetesalek hanegia. After, I know that you have the ability to explain all of this if you just remove your element of self-interest from this. Me'achar shebechol ofan apsak din hu betokvo, af im tisha'er hakushya, we know that our court decision is binding even if you try to find some difficulties, means, mikol makom l'rav chademilta ani kotev atam b'kitzur. But nevertheless, out of the goodness of my heart, I will write the reasons for this particular decision in favor of the settlement of the school teacher.
What year was this?
This was 1952 again. He said, I won't read the whole tshuva because it's rather lengthy and we don't have any more time left, but and this, if you do you have the Rabbeinu's tshuvas at home? The Igros Moshe? At any rate, he says, "Hine below ta'an naklal, without any due cause, ein yecholim lasalek. You can't just go and fire a teacher without due cause. Af im neima kamoshe katav karatosha ayutzurichim lamanato b'chol shana, even though the custom in your school is that a teacher gets a new appointment at the beginning of each year, okay, mekevan she'etzem hadin bi'arti bi'orach b'tshuva achat she'tzorcheh po el stam hu l'chol hazman she'tzorich ha'sofro k'gon refactory v'chein hu b'yeshiva she'l l'chol hazman she'itkeinu asher rotzim levatel mizeh mitzad ha'minhag she'machadshim ha'minui b'kol shana la'ochiach mizeh she'minu hu rak l'shana. You're trying to claim that because every contract is renewed annually, that implies that the period is only for 1 year. Ve'ein zeh hochacha shel klum. That proves nothing, he says, the fact that you write a contract at the beginning of each year. And if you look at the history of the yeshiva and Elizabeth, they never fired anybody before without cause. So therefore, the imkain shovro imo. You have a cancellation of this proof just from the very fact of looking at the normal practice in your own institution. And therefore, the idea that you're trying to say that everybody has an annual contract is in fact negated by the actual practice of the school, because they never have fired any teacher without cause in the past. Okay? V'nish'ah ke'etzem adin dahu socho la'olam, that this teacher will have tenure as the right to be employed unless he is fired for cause. U'mimeila afshem enhag batei ha'sefa shel ha'nachrim shehei masalkim gam b'lo ta'ana. Even though you're now making the claim that the public schools in Elizabeth have the right to fire, no klum. That's no, again, no proof. The yesh lemezel batal minhag shel makom ze yoter minhag ha'medina. You have to follow the implied principles, the implied customs of your school. Don't tell me what's going on in the public school system in Elizabeth. Your practices are binding on you, and that's the understanding that if anyone who comes to work for you. And then he goes to prove this from various places in the Gemara. And then he says, Ulevadze. He says further, if you're going to bring what the common practice is, why do you bring proof from what the public schools are doing in Elizabeth? Why don't you bring from what the normal practice is in all the yeshivas around the world, that they don't fire a teacher without due cause? Okay? Etc. Okay, and then he says furthermore, he says, I'm not even at all clear what indeed the practice is in the public school system in Elizabeth. I tend to believe that in public schools as well, they don't fire a teacher without cause. Maybe what they think is due cause for firing a teacher may not be the same sort of things that we would consider as due cause for firing a teacher. But I don't believe that even the public schools would fire a teacher without some type of a hearing and due cause. So therefore, the fact that you sign an annual contract with each teacher doesn't deprive him of the right of a hearing to see whether there was cause for being fired. Okay? And therefore, the only reason for firing this teacher is if the causes that you brought against him, the complaints that you brought against him, were justified. If these were clear-cut complaints, and if it was impossible for the teacher to rectify his failings, and therefore would have to be dismissed, even if you found cause to fire this teacher, it's going to be only reasonable that he would be entitled to some form of severance pay. You just don't take someone who's been working for you, even if you have cause to fire him, and put him out on the street without any severance pay. Umikevan shatanot lo hayu brurot kol kach l'salko. But furthermore, since these complaints didn't seem to us to be irreparable false. Mishum sheya efshel ataknam shelo yera od sheyetanot olav. We felt that the teacher could modify his behavior to avoid whatever complaints the parents may have had against him. Rak shelo ratzak botarato lachziko afim yaptiach shelo haba lo yeotanot. Right, just that you wanted to fire him, even if he promised to mend his ways. That's why we decided on the compromise that he was entitled to $1,500 in severance pay.
Nothing halachic there. What it's about, this is just like a general moralistic attitude about
No, he's
well,
saying
you
that.
Know the fella, he,
no, he's saying that.
Never had that practice before.
No, he said. No, no. Well, excuse me. Never having that practice before means that this is the implied contract. If I go to a factory and I know that absolutely everybody who's ever hired in that factory had a job for life, then the presumption is when I'm hired there, I'm hired for life. I mean, that's what he's saying. That's perfectly reasonable. If I know... Sure. The idea of an implied contract has a basis in halacha. Certainly, we've studied that many times. The question is how to establish the implied contract. Do you follow the common practice? Do you follow the practice of the town? Do you follow the practice of the state? Do you follow the practice of the individual firm? And he says that if the firm has a clear-cut established practice, then you don't have to take into account what the surrounding practice is, because it's implicitly understood that if I go to work as a nurse for Dr. Schrauber and he has never fired any nurse in the past, then it's understandable that as long as I continue to do my work on a sound basis, that I would not be fired. If it's made explicitly clear at the beginning that for sure you're going to be only on trial for a month or a half a year, or I'm only needed for a half a year, then that explicit stipulation is enough. But to simply say that all of the workers come in and formally sign a new contract each year, that's a fiction, he says. That runs counter to the established practice.
Actually, the whole idea of unionism is moot, because you have implied practices, implied contracts. They don't have to worry about the contract.
No, everything can be made explicit.
They don't need
It's better to have it explicit. Oh. It's better to have it explicit. These kinds of things
it's
don't
not
arrive.
The only reason the unions are.
But in the case where the thing wasn't made explicit, he says you can't fire a teacher without cause. So he says that normal, reasonable practice is that even if you have cause, you don't fire somebody without a certain amount of severance pay. In this case, since there was not enough cause to fire this teacher, we decided, well, $1,500 in 1952 is a substantial amount of money. You have to pay up. And now he says, just, you know, it's up to you, Rabbi. Don't bother me, Rabbi Teitz, with the fact that you're balabatim or you are unhappy. This was a decision, and I'm doing you a favor by writing you out the details, but basically cough up the money.
Does that work for tenure also? Because you're saying since he's there year in and year out, then after so many years, it would be a fire under any circumstances.
No, there's always a big person who gross, even I can be fired from Harvard University. If I murder the president or commit some terrible act of sexual abuse or something, or whatever is the current great crime, I can certainly be fired.
There are an awful lot of corporations in this country that have implied contracts of lifetime employment almost, short of doing something wrong, that have let go an awful lot of employees
That's right.
the last 2-3 years.
That's right. So in times of economic
but
distress...
But they let them off with severance pay or with some sort of...
Right.
Adjustment.
Right, but I'm saying is this... Implication
sure.
can change.
Of course, the situation can change under economic distress. When we come to study the notion of makat medina, that is general distress, we'll see how the burdens of responsibility shift and so on. But all I wanted to point out is that if you had this image of Moshe as an arch conservative, he was...
No, not at all. He was the friend of the little
he
man.
He was the friend of the little man.
I think he was particularly vexed here because it had already been